Greetings, Wargamers. We're your hosts, Trevor,
Jay,
Josh,
and this is
Shane Attack.
Is sponsored by Discount Games Incorporated. Discount Games Incorporated offers the maximum discount on Privateer Press products. When you order $30 or more, you will receive free or reduced shipping. You can find the web store at www.discountgamesinc.com. Welcome to Chain Attack, the War Machine and Hordes podcast. I'm your host, Trevor, and I don't know what I do anymore. I don't play War Machine. I read HIPAA laws. It's what I do. It's fun. You should join me.
I have.
You've read them?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's fun.
Josh and I played each other a game of War Machine last War Machine night. It sounds much better than HIPAA laws.
Even though my NIS got wiped off the board practically top of one, meaning I almost killed them myself. It was still awesome.
What? How did you? What do you mean you about?
I just mean I put him in a terrible position for Jay's 4-inch AOEs, and the man is really good at what he does. I'm Josh, by the way, the man with the Dracodile and a plan.
Yeah, I'm not sure if I said this, but I'm Jay. So to kick it off, Josh, why don't you? Tell us about the community builders that we're doing this week.
I will do that, yes. This week we are rewarding the post about running events for your local community. Always one of my favorites to see the nominations and read the stories. And so we had some great nominations again this time, and we were most moved upon by the nomination made by Ryan Schmidt of one Adam Thomas Morey, who received multiple nominations, for the record. And Ryan said this about Adam. He said he has run everything from steamrollers to narrative events to food machine to just local game nights. He goes out of his way week after week to make sure there's events for every kind and caliber of player, sets up and takes down, and makes sure everyone is having a good time, which is honestly amazing. His appeal is international because one of the later nominations talks about that his annual 3-man tournament draws people from all over New York State and even Canada. So there you go. And so we are, let's see, what is the award this week, Jay?
He'll be receiving a starter box from Discount Games Inc.
Awesome. That should be excellent for, well, whatever you use it for, honestly, but. But thank you, Adam, for being the kind of person who I think gives up some of your own tournament time to make sure that great events are being run for a community that sounds like is awesome back in the east of the USA.
So, Josh.
Yes, Jay.
During this game that we played versus each other, I was able to witness you use your move line tray for the first time.
I was so excited to talk about this, but I honestly forgot. So thanks for the setup, Jay. Seriously, though, this isn't even ad copy. The most amazing thing to me about using the move line tray is that my stuff was organized, like, through the whole game. I could be
that's the biggest selling point for me.
Is it?
Yeah, because every time I go to pick up, like, the widget.
Yeah, I'm like, where's my 6-inch? Where's my... Yeah.
Where's the blast widgets is the one that always kill me.
Yes.
Like, because I always toss them back into my little case thing. And every time, never fails, I'm like, oh, it's a blast. I'll grab my blast gauge. And I'll be like, oh, here we go. And I'm like, oh, no. This one's for the medium base. And I'll toss it back in there, and then I'll go through it again. And I'm like, oh, here. Oh, no, that's for the large base.
You know? Yeah. So same thing with the proxy bases also. Like, it's just like the move line tray senses my need and my hand is able to go right to where it is. So anyway, I thought that was awesome. Now, granted, it means that you need to have table space for your move line tray.
Mm.
So I think that all TOs should probably make sure that everybody has 8 feet of table. I'm kidding. No. But anyway, no, just like, yeah, I need this length. Boom, there it is. Use it. Put it right back. I mean, I don't know. I thought it was awesome. So can't wait to play another game with it.
Well, pick up your move line tray at musonstore.com, which funny story. The store continues to get easier to navigate.
Nice.
The part of the reason why this whole project of making the store easier to use is because Sung-Soo went to buy a move line tray and couldn't find them. It took him too long to figure out where one was. And so he took pity on us and has been helping us.
And upgraded the website.
Yeah.
Well, you know, whatever worked for you.
And finally, for Discount Games Inc., shoot an email to me to find out about deals that are too good to be advertised on the website. They're that sweet.
To speak of them on the podcast would be to spoiler.
It's true.
The Discount Games website.
Speaking of spoilers, so we are now on episode 150 of season 2 of Chain Attack.
All about Mark III.
Chain Attack Mark II, all about War Machine Mark III, yes. And season 1, I believe we had 250 episodes, so this is our, not counting dojos, our 400th episode.
Oh, nice. Way to add extra numbers to this.
Makes it sound even
to
more
this build up.
Impressive.
My family was asking me that last night when I was telling them what we were going to record this episode about. They're like, wait, how many episodes are there? I couldn't remember. So that's good to know. 400 total.
Now
250
you know.
From the original.
There's
I
more.
Mean, from
there's more
season
than
one.
Because if you count all the dojo episodes. Mm,
fair enough, yes. Who's counting?
I mean, there's more like 700.
Yeah, I think we started the dojo like exactly after we'd done 100.
Yeah, we did right. 100, so there's 150 previous dojo episodes.
Jumping,
and then 149 currently. There'll be 150 later today. So, yeah.
The scary thing about it is that I don't think... Well, actually, I guess we're still quite a ways off from the 10,000 number that... 10,000 hours that Malcolm Gladwell has is
oh.
like becoming a master or something. I was going to say, like, I don't feel
we're like
a
oh,
master
shit.
Yet.
We're like,
we have wasted 10%
of the way there.
That's a lot of time that did not go towards making ourselves better.
So rather than do a normal War Machine podcast, we decided that we were going to do our 150th episode and talk about the Avengers Endgame, talk about the Marvel Cinematic Universe, etc. And so if you have not watched Endgame and you care about spoilers, then turn off your fucking radio.
Also, whatever podcasting app you're using.
That too, yeah. Your phone, whatever. Because we're going to talk heavily about spoilers.
Deeply.
So, Josh, Trevor and I watched it release weekend. You got a chance to see it last night.
Yes, with most of my clan. Even my sweetheart came with us.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Has she seen all the previous movies?
No.
Oh, no, no.
And neither has my most athletic daughter. So that was interesting,
had they at
too.
Least seen Infinity War?
She'd seen Infinity War.
Okay. So
they went with us to that last
this, my
year.
Second viewing, I went with a friend who was like, yeah, I didn't recognize a lot of these characters because I haven't watched a lot of the MCU, but I still really enjoyed it.
Yeah, I think that, and that's the thing that I thought was interesting. They still had a lot of fun with it. But like one of the most critical movies that neither my wife nor one of my older daughters had seen was Ant-Man
yeah.
and the Wasp.
Right. Yeah.
Oh, geez.
So they're like, you know, they're basically like, who the heck is that guy? And I'm like, he's the funniest. Just pay attention. But that was probably the biggest one that they hadn't seen.
I guess I'm kind of interested in starting off with some of the things that maybe we didn't like, but I guess before we do that, overall, what is everyone's opinion of the movie?
So, the funny thing is, I was thinking about this, like, I feel like my overall opinion that I would give is very similar to my overall opinion of The Force Awakens, another big, let's call it, you know, geeky movie to talk about, right?
Okay.
I had a great time. I enjoyed the heck out of the movie, and I thought it was a very fitting passing of the baton. You know, in this case, more a passing of the baton between sort of, let's say, characters or character generations or story arcs, right? Force Awakens, I felt like, was an incredible passing of the baton from my generation's Star Wars to my kids' you know, generation. So, but overall, yeah, I just thought I had a lot of fun.
And also, so I think that most people, or maybe I'm just surrounded by bitter people, but... Overall, I think that there were a fair number of people that were disappointed with The Force Awakens.
Right, yeah.
And
my brother chief among them, that kid.
Oh, well, I mean, okay, whatever. But you were not disappointed in either of those movies. Would that be fair to say?
No, I was not. I also think that I have a higher bar for disappointment than a lot of people.
Are you like...
You mean lower bar?
Whatever. However you would say that. Like, I find Glee much quicker than...
You're sort of like our deceased friend Wade. Yes. Basically, you love every movie that ever comes out. Yes. You have none that you're like, that was movie was right. Awful.
or honestly, I mean, maybe it's just that I don't go see movies that I know I'm not going to enjoy. Right, yeah. You know, like I am pretty... Like, my movie watching is fairly curated.
Right.
By myself. You know, sure. So,
Trevor.
Yes.
What about you? What's your opinion of the movie?
Coming into the movie, my biggest concern was that the consequences of Infinity War were not going to be heavy enough. I knew everything was going to get fixed at some point.
Right.
And my fear was that, like in the comics, that the events would not matter in the end. Because too often
that's how comics run.
That's how comics run. You know, you read the whole comic book series and you're like, oh, that was fantastic. They go on to the next series and it's almost like it doesn't matter all that much. And so that was my biggest concern coming in, is that when I got to the end of it, I would feel like that I had sat through Infinity War for no purpose whatsoever.
Right.
I enjoyed Infinity War a lot. So I was hoping that the consequences of Infinity War would still feel... They would still have gravity. And I feel like that they did that quite well. And as someone who loves time travel movies, I mean, it was right up my alley. It's also, strangely enough, it's kind of a new take on time travel, even though it's probably the most realistic, in that you can't really change your current situation. You can't change your past by going into the past. You can only change your future.
Right.
That's... Funny enough, that's pretty unique.
And that you had to put all the stuff back where you had got it. Like, I thought that was...
I did appreciate.
I mean, they didn't have to. They could have left that
right,
that all alternate these, like, timeline.
They could have been Barry Allen from The Flash. May he find an enemy who defeats him because he's an idiot and caused Flashpoint.
Sure.
Right?
But they didn't. You know, they took everything
back. I did appreciate,
back.
Like, all the Back to the Future jokes.
Yeah, yes. I mean, there was a lot of things about it.
That conversation is so amazing.
Well, Back to the Future is full of...
and truthfully, I feel like that there's a lot of people who maybe misunderstand that particular point.
Oh my God, yes.
I see a lot of people online talking about this time travel stuff, and it's almost like they shut off during the exposition of what was going to happen.
Okay.
And they don't necessarily understand that even though Thanos came from the past, it was a different timeline that he came from to their timeline. And that when they killed him the second time, that it didn't have anything, it didn't change anything in the past. And it just feels like there's a lot of people who don't seem to really understand that.
Now, I hadn't even really thought of that, but because essentially the fact that that was from a timeline where the two nebulas existed.
Right.
Or meant that it was...
There's people who are like, you know, what's going to happen to Nebula now that the past Nebula is dead? Well, nothing.
Yeah, nothing. That's a different
different nebulas.
Yeah, it's a different nebula. And this
that's pretty nuanced, honestly.
It is, but I think that it's explained fairly well.
And right. They tried to be fairly forceful, it felt like, in saying that we're not going to be able to, like, we're going to go mess things up.
We're
going to
be able to alter this present by changing our past.
We're not going to change the past, right. Basically.
Yeah.
All right.
So
put a pin in that, because I have more questions about that in a minute.
Okay. The other part of that I don't know how to feel about it is the part with Captain America popping back into their timeline, because he goes back in time to a different timeline. He stays in that timeline.
To put the stones back, do you mean?
Correct. He stays in that timeline, and then he magically appears back in their timeline again. Seemingly changing their past, unless he travels back through time, back to their location, which is fine. I mean, that works. But
I thought if he was putting, again, I'm thinking of the scene with the Ancient One, the Sorcerer Supreme, and the Hulk. The way that they explained that with that sweet little glowing trail, right?
Mm-hmm.
Feels to me like when Captain America goes back and puts the stones all back where they belong, that he is then in their timeline.
No.
No,
he's reset their timeline, not his own. He's reset their timeline back. She was defending her timeline. She says, don't take the stones. You're going to ruin my timeline. And the Hulk says, we'll bring your stones back. Your timeline will be reset.
You're saying her timeline is not Hulk's timeline?
Correct.
Her timeline is not the same 5 years later Avengers Endgame timeline?
No, in her timeline, Thanos disappears.
Wins. Oh, in hers, Thanos disappears. Oh.
So anyway, okay. He goes back in time, and then he, at some point, he, Captain America, lives out his life in that different timeline.
Right.
And then he, at the end of his life, apparently, he comes back to their timeline.
Yeah.
Sure.
I'm not, how does this, how does this shield, relate to whether or not you, did you like the movie?
my point was that I'm a little, there's some plot holes that I'm like, okay, does that work or not? I'm still a little bit out, but
I enjoyed
the movie. Yes.
Let me do a little side rant.
I'm ready.
It's a fucking time travel. Like, this isn't directed at you, Trevor, but like,
I just love time travel movies.
Just the world at
Please
large.
Please tell me you're about to sing the Frozen theme song.
Sure, I could. I mean, the reality is that just enjoy the fucking movie and don't look that closely at the plot holes, because it's a time travel movie. It has them. Just
To be fair, I have that problem with every movie, that I don't look too closely at it.
I look closely at all the...
My son-in-law, I now call him, like, I'm like, all right, let us review with the plot hole concerninator. You know,
right? It's like,
no, I'm not. That's not the issue that I have. I like analyzing the effects.
This time travel is not logically consistent.
No. That's not my issue, because none of them are logically consistent. That's part of the problem. That's part of the interesting part of time travel, is that you have grandfather paradoxes and other things like that.
Right.
That happen in all of them, but that's the fun part to analyze, and that's what I'm doing.
Fair enough. We'll allow it.
Okay. Well,
Jay,
I think that
you didn't answer. Did you enjoy it?
Of the three of us, I would guess that I probably enjoyed it the most.
I don't know. I enjoyed it quite a bit. I will just relating it to The Last Jedi, or not The Last Jedi.
Force Awakens.
The Force Awakens.
Mm-hmm.
I've cooled on that movie quite a bit over the years.
Really?
Going back and reviewing
it. I should watch it again. I haven't rewatched it.
Not as excited about it as I was at the time.
Again,
well, how
I
much
was
of that is the second movie?
Probably a lot.
Yeah,
it feels like there was the same sort of thing. But it felt like the consequences in the first one were not reinforced in the second one. They were basically just thrown out.
Oh,
well, this is a complete side topic, but my greatest concern for the Star Wars trilogy is that it felt like two very different people made the two movies.
Yeah,
and they're going back to the guy who made the first movie.
Oh,
for the third one,
Rise of Skywalker.
So. Anyways,
speaking of spoilers, I had to cover my ears and my eyes because the Rise of Skywalker trailer played right before.
No, it's
Avengers Endgame.
It's pretty tame. There's not much there.
Says you.
So let's. I like I said before, I think we ought to start with maybe talking about
things that you kind of didn't like.
Things that, and some of these are, I guess, of varying degrees of what we didn't like. Some of it's kind of nitpicking for me.
Sure. Okay.
I should say. The first one that I don't like is I didn't like Thor in the movie. Or I didn't like what they
You're
did
not into
Thor.
Fat Thor.
So
dad bod Thor.
That's not the issue. The issue to me is that they used like fat jokes and PTSD as comedic relief.
Okay.
Which I don't really think that's funny.
Okay. I'm trying to decide if I was bothered by it or not. As the fattest member of the cast. I think that's a fair concern, though. I think that's interesting. Like you said, it's maybe only kind of a nitpick.
My third one is definitely a nitpick. This one I actually, I understand that, especially in a movie like this, you need to have comedic relief. You need to be able to lighten things up.
Right, right.
I just wish that they'd found other ways to do it.
Okay.
So, one of you guys, what was something that you didn't like about the movie?
Go ahead, Josh. I think about it.
I was trying to think about it last night a little bit, and I was concerned about the pacing of the first, I don't know, 45 minutes to an hour. It's a good movie length.
I've had people, seen several people complain about that online. I personally liked that.
You didn't feel like it was too long?
No.
I mean, I understand why it kind of made sense to have a slower pace, because then it's like, now we're putting the throttle all the way up.
It also, I thought it was interesting. Like, I thought it was pretty impactful for them to, right at the start of the movie, they kill Thanos, and then they're like, 5 years later.
Right.
And then I think it's actually appropriate for them to spend a fair amount of time, like, kind of making you feel the impact of them having to deal with this new reality.
So, my other concern, again, it's really actually hard for me to generate nitpick, but I'm going to call this concern. I think it was a pretty interesting choice, move, whatever. To explore as heavily as I feel like they did themes of loss and death I actually had a friend kind of pre-warn me. He's like, no spoilers, but there are some heavy themes and I just want you to be aware of it, you know? And I think almost because he had warned me, maybe it softened the impact a little bit, but I was sort of like a couple times I was like, having recently experienced real loss, it is interesting to watch, you know,
them kind of portray
imitation
how
loss,
people...
you know, yeah, or how they would deal with right. it or how it would. And honestly, it did not affect me very deeply until Pepper Potts' scene with Iron Man,
mm-hmm.
where she says, "We're gonna be okay.
Mm-hmm.
You can rest." And then I was like, I teared up right there, but from like sort of reminder of real personal loss.
Mm-hmm.
But it was just interesting. Like the whole time, I was thinking about like, man, this is like. And maybe that it's part of what has worked well for the Marvel Cinematic Universe, right? Is that you're playing around in this comic book world, but you're like very seriously attempting to explore some pretty heavy themes. So sorry, I wandered off from nitpicks,
no,
I guess, you know, but it was just interesting that I was like, man, they like, and the reason it made me think of that is I'm like, when they decapitated Thanos, I was like, I was pretty surprised by that.
Uh-huh,
like, that felt a little gorier.
Right.
Then I feel like I'm used to in
it had more
the other MCUs.
It had more swear words in it than most MCUs.
Yeah, my family all looked over at me when Captain America was like, I think he gets like 3 in or something uh-huh. like that, you know? But anyway, so a little heavier than some of the others.
Have you thought of a nitpick, Trevor?
You know, I don't have a lot. I think I maybe do have a little bit of a nitpick with the pacing, and it's not because of the length. It's because of the amount of time allocated to the various acts. It does feel like that the first act of the film could be sped up just a little bit, and the second act is maybe rushed a little too much.
Mm. Okay.
it feels like that could have been expanded. And during the film, when I was sitting there,
it just should have been 3.5 hours.
I felt like I wanted more of the time travel part of it, where they go
right,
back in time.
Right.
It feels like they kind of went back and everything was just resolved way quicker than I was expecting it to be for most of them. Like, oh, hey, I got the first stone back in.
Right,
you know, we're
right,
going back now.
Right,
and
right.
It's just kind of like, oh, well, that was way easier than I expected it to be. I guess that was my issue with the pacing, was just that I felt like the first part was could have been shortened. I didn't mind the length of it. I just felt like the second part was too short.
Okay.
So, and I don't know that you should lengthen the film at, you know, 3 hours is plenty long already.
Pretty prodigious.
Yeah. So.
Okay. So my next, I've talked about this movie with a lot of people, spent a lot of time thinking about it. And so
okay.
I have developed a list of
nits.
This one's not a nit. It bugs me quite a bit on this one. So comic books in general have had an issue with the way that women are portrayed in them.
Yes.
And so Marvel knows that they have to tread lightly, et cetera. And, I was just kind of disappointed in the way that Black Widow died.
Really?
Yeah. Especially because, and granted, this is with my own biases, etc., but I don't like Jeremy Renner, and I don't like Hawkeye.
Especially not. Is he Ronin now or not?
Like, who the fuck knows?
Right.
Because
he is Ronin.
I understand he's Ronin.
I won't lie, Jay. During that scene, I was like, please let it be Hawkeye.
Right?
I'm like, what a perfect use of Jeremy Renner's
right.
character. Like, bring him back.
Finally, Hawkeye can have a fucking use.
I, too, don't like either of those characters, but I did. I didn't. I actually, maybe I felt tied to him because of his loss of his family, but I felt like it was an appropriate point for her to give up because she doesn't have what he has waiting. Okay. She doesn't have the loss that he's going to have if he doesn't get his family back.
Tell me.
But I don't like Jeremy Renner either, and I don't like Hawkeye.
Like, here's, so this ties back, though, to a deeper sin that goes later.
Okay.
In the MCU. So in Age of Ultron,
mm-hmm.
the second Avengers movie,
uh-huh.
she is talking to the Hulk and, you know, he's like, you know, you can't love me. I'm a monster. And she's like, oh, well, you're not the only monster. When I was in the Russian program, I got sterilized. I can't have kids. I'm a monster. And
oh, I didn't remember that, but okay.
I don't think that's exactly what she said.
Yeah, it is.
We'll roll the tape here in a moment.
That's fine. I she did say those two things. I don't think she was equating her not being able to have kids to her being a monster. I think she was equating her being a monster to the things she had done.
The red in her ledger.
It.
Yes.
It feels like it is very easy to conclude in that scene that she feels like part of the reason why she's a monster is
inability to bear children. Right. At this point.
I'll go back and rewatch, but I never felt that way.
Maybe she chose to be sterilized, and that's regardless. Why she feels monster. Okay, but tell me what bothered you most about her death scene in Endgame.
So one of the things that can be a problem in comic books is that women are used to motivate the male heroes.
Okay.
And so, Black Widow has sacrificed her life. Okay, well, now we have to go.
Now all the man heroes are
motivated
are like,
to go.
Okay.
You know, it's funny, in comics, there is there's both the exploitation of women and also the
underappreciation.
The appreciation of women. Like there are comic book issues and series that are basically focused in on women characters that have almost pioneered this. It's really weird to me because you look at some comics, the male focused comics, and they are exactly what Jay is talking about, but they also have comics that were written for young women who they're very different. They're portrayed completely differently in those comics. You know, you see what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do.
Within the industry, that right. They're like, okay, well, we're going to write this book, but in this one, I don't think it's a conscious decision.
Turns out human beings are complicated, and yeah. So is an industry meant to entertain them.
Yeah, I mean, the truth is they write certain, they target their comic books towards people, and unfortunately, as men, the comic books that were targeted towards us treated women poorly,
yeah.
But the comics that were pointed towards little girls, the women were treated completely differently in those.
So I just feel like this may be a good point to add to this discussion, Jay, about women specifically, right?
Right.
So the Wheeler family post-movie discussion that occurred with Tillamook Ice Cream last night, one point that I heard, like, echoed repeatedly, like loudly declared, was, and I think my wife actually said this, she's like, the whole 3 hours was worth sitting through for the scene where all of the women,
the girl power,
come together and like start crushing Thanos. Like, my daughters were over the moon that part.
And I had a friend who commented to me, like, he's like, I just thought that the girl power scene was heavy-handed and, you know, whatever. And I'm like, well, you know, that's fine if you think that, but it wasn't for you, and let someone else enjoy that part of the movie.
Yeah, I mean, the audience it hit awesome. Like, my girls were like cheering.
Okay, well, here's my nitpick of it.
Of the girl power scene?
Right.
I'm ready.
It wasn't enough.
That's fair. I mean, they would have, my ladies would have watched 2 hours of just that.
Right, and frankly. it was what, 15 seconds of a 3-hour movie? Are you kidding me?
But it was a critical moment.
Okay, I agree.
Yeah.
I'm just saying that they could have, I don't know, they could have done more.
Sure, they could have had Black Widow not die a stupid death to keep a fucking lame character alive.
I'm sorry, that doesn't bother me.
Dang it, I'm going to have to go back after this and survey, unofficial survey of the Wheeler women. Because I'm curious what their thoughts were on that, what their input is on that. Because, anyway,
one of the best parts
of the ladies in my family.
It's sort of funny, like, I've noticed in the last few days, I've had kind of a surge in Facebook friends who've been doing posts saying that they think the Infinity War is way better than Endgame.
I prefer Infinity War to Endgame. I don't know about
I like Endgame more.
Do you? Okay.
Yeah. I do like Infinity War a lot.
Why do we have to judge them separately?
Yeah, whatever.
Because it's like children. You have to pick which one you like
best.
That's
right, yes.
But the whole reason I brought that up is that, like, one of the things that is in Infinity War favor of liking it more is that it didn't fucking have Hawkeye. So, think how good of a movie Endgame could have been.
I will say, like, I made a tiny mistake between Infinity War and Endgame, which is that I read a run of a Hawkeye comic series that is, like, really funny. It's because it's like a slice of life Hawkeye, and it has the male Hawkeye and this female Hawkeye, and anyway, it's just funny. Like, so it, like, softened me towards Hawkeye a little bit, is all I'm saying. Not necessarily the MCU Hawkeye, but...
Okay.
You continue to stoke your rage, though. Yeah.
So I want to continue this thought about the woman scene.
The girl power scene.
The girl power scene. Okay. Coming into Endgame, I expected Captain Marvel to be
a
bigger part of the plot.
Right.
And especially
more than just the cavalry?
Yes.
Okay.
Especially because at the end of Infinity War, that is the spoiler we are given.
Right.
With Nick Fury
paging her. Right.
And we had this big lead up with her movie being prior to it, being part of the introduction of it. And
I don't think that most people expected that it would be Ant-Man that saved the day.
Well, seeing the previews, I did.
Did he?
Sure, yeah. Well, and also, there were a lot of people who guessed that it would be something related with Ant-Man and
the quantum realm.
Yeah.
Because of the end of Ant-Man
and the Wasp. Right.
Yeah. And
but
well,
are you saying, did he save it just because he brought the time travel
device
to their attention?
No, he brought the idea.
Yeah. He was like, hey, and he's the one who goes from like,
he's like, I've been gone for 5 hours, but you guys have moved 5 years. Right. He's the one that brings the time travel
idea.
If
he hadn't come back, then they would have just continued living their happy lives.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. And it just feels like, all the lead up of Captain Marvel is just left on the table.
So I feel like you're saying kind of the same thing that you just said about the girl power scene, is that there just wasn't enough.
Correct.
And maybe my daughters would say that, but like my one daughter, Captain Marvel is her favorite character.
Okay, like, well, ask her. Does she feel like there was enough Captain
MCU,
Marvel?
I will. She'll probably say no because I don't. I think
because there could not have been
all
enough.
It would be enough if Captain Marvel for her would be like if Endgame were actually
Captain Marvel
Endgame, you know, and it was just Captain Marvel the whole time. But whatever.
You know, it's sort of interesting.
It's a little bit difficult, I think, given the way that they've portrayed Captain Marvel. It's kind of unfortunate, but she's so strong that
she has the Superman problem.
Right.
They
almost have to have her like, okay, you're going to go take care of the rest of the universe and not.
Which I thought they did an okay job with, kind of justifying. I mean, in a way, almost justifying her lack of involvement when she was like, there are thousands of other planets having these same problems.
Yeah,
and they don't have you guys.
Yeah, I guess that makes sense.
Right.
Yeah. I'm not saying they didn't handle it well. I'm just saying that there was a lot of lead up that just didn't seem to have any weight.
Sure. And it's still,
if that movie had been placed 2 years ago,
right,
it wouldn't have felt weird. The fact that it was placed right before Endgame.
Oh, you're saying just the Captain Marvel in our timeline, where it was placed.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I mean, it's almost like we have this end scene at the end of Infinity War, like she's coming to help us.
I will quiz the greatest Captain Marvel fan and see if there was enough quantity of Captain Marvel.
I don't know if
movie.
She's the greatest Captain Marvel fan.
Well, she's the loudest in my house. Let's just put it that way.
That's true, yeah. You know,
you know what? I feel like it's funny you talk about the Superman problem, because we were talking about this a little bit last night, too. I'm like, I feel like she has that even more than Superman, because I don't even know what her kryptonite is.
Oh, that's fair.
The
too.
AI's device put on her neck, apparently.
That's gone now?
Yeah. Like, does she have a weakness?
I don't think her power has the same scale. Here's part of the problem. She is a unique in the MCU in her power level, but not unique in the greater Marvel universe, not even close.
Okay.
Like, if you put her within the greater Marvel universe, she's not even... She's probably in the top, 20 or whatever, but mm-hmm. she's not alone in any...
You're saying, most powerful beings in the Marvel universe.
Right. I mean, you pull in Galactus and Silver Surfer.
Where does she go versus, the Nova Corps? She's still more powerful than those guys, right?
Right.
Like Nova?
Okay. Well, no. Nova, you mean the character Nova?
I mean Nova, yeah.
Probably about the same. I don't... Honestly, you're getting into the realms
that's
that I don't really know. I'm sure there's
somebody
screaming at their radio right now.
I mean, and the Watcher,
clearly
less powerful than the Watcher.
Who is not less powerful than the Watcher? I mean, I don't know, but the point being is that within the MCU, she's head and shoulders above most of the characters, except for maybe Thanos himself.
Right.
But then you throw that into the greater Marvel universe, and it's not that big a deal. But yeah, it does feel very Superman-ish right now. It's like, okay, well, why doesn't she just, snap her fingers and solve all these problems?
Right.
So I don't know how that's going to fit in eventually, because one of the things I loved about the MCU was the fact that they didn't bring in these
cosmic
superpowered creatures,
but it almost sounds like you have to when you start to have cosmic level threats.
Do you
like Thanos?
Could
and
she,
or come on, baby, bring us a real Galactus?
Could she have? I mean, I appreciate who she brings to the Marvel universe. I'm glad she's there, but let's pretend for a moment that movie never happened and mm-hmm. that she's not involved in it. Could she? You could have written this plot in a way that she never was involved and that still would resolve the same way it did.
Yeah, fair. Kind of.
Anyway.
Okay, my next... This one actually is a nitpick.
Okay. we're still on nits. Yeah. Go on.
I didn't really like the Hulk character in this movie.
Do they call it Professor Hulk, Dr. Hulk? What is...
I'd call him Grey Hulk because that's what he's in the comics.
Okay, so I would agree with you, Jay, were it not for the scene in the diner with the selfies with the kids and Ant-Man. Oh, my lands. That was so good. I was laughing my guts out.
The Ant-Man part was good.
Right.
I've read enough Hulk comics to... I expected it. I expected it to come along at some point.
I actually... Did you expect it to, like... Did you expect him to lose it in the course of this movie? Like, go back to Hulk Banner separated?
Because
when the Ancient One, whatever, chi punches him out of the Hulk's body, I was like, oh, man, it just got real! And then I'm like, it did put it back together. So,
like, so my issue isn't the idea of that character.
Of a smart Hulk.
Right. My two issues are that, A, it... I didn't think the CGI on him was
the Ruffalo
good.
Face.
It was pretty good.
Okay, well.
All right, okay. And what sure. is your other issue?
My other issue is that it also just, it seemed kind of incongruous that everyone else is like, and maybe it does make sense that there be someone who is this way, but like everyone else is dealing with this tragedy and loss, and it feels like
Hulk is having
the greatest time of his life right now.
That's true. He was living his best life during the movie.
Yeah, it's also interesting that there's... That there was very little lead up or exposition to it. Like he just
said in that cafe, like, I spent a few years or something in a gamma chamber, and
right. It just almost feels like we see the end, and we don't really understand why him and why Banner and Hulk are fighting in the previous movie, and then go straight to where we've joined.
Right. And you know, it makes sense that.
I mean,
there would
this
after
is
five
years later.
There
Jay.
Would be people who are happy.
Yeah, I mean that's the thing about.
But for like the audience, it just felt kind of like I said, incongruous to me.
No, that's okay. I think that's an interesting nit. I'm not fully on board with your nit, but I think it's interesting. And really, I only the 5 years thing is the only reason I'm like, okay, but five years, like some people do find a way to move forward. You know? They always say move on, but it's move forward, you know, like, but yeah, I get what you're saying. Cause it almost felt like he barely even acknowledged kind of the loss and the grief and that kind of stuff. And, okay.
One of my nitpicks of Hulk is not even in this movie. It's all the previous movies, but in the comics, you punch him hard. He doesn't get knocked out. He just gets like the more angry, the way you defeat him is by calming him down.
Literally punch through reality, basically.
Right. And that's not in the MCU. They've knocked him out multiple times. And I'm just like, it bothers me a little bit in the back of my mind.
That the Hulk himself.
Yeah, like
can get knocked out.
Yeah, like he's defeated by Iron Man. Right. He's defeated by Thor. You know, I'm just like, by the time it gets to Endgame, I'm like, this is a different Hulk. Like,
yeah.
In fact, there's
I've kind of always thought that the MCU Hulk is just kind of a lame character.
Really?
I like him, but
the MCU fine. Banner is awesome. I think I think Ruffalo is awesome as Bruce.
I agree. Actually, I like the Banner in the MCU way better than the comic MCU Banner.
Yeah. Right. Yes. Banner. Right. Yeah. Same. Yeah. But anyway.
Okay.
I'm not a huge Hulk fan anyway. So
sure. So any.
I'm probably the biggest Hulk fan here, and I'm not really that big of a Hulk.
Yeah, that's
fan.
Fair.
Do we have any other nitpicks before we move on to the
no,
awesome?
No. You are Lord and Curator of the nitpicks, okay. Clearly, because I do have. This is more of a question, I think, than a nitpick. This goes back to the timelines thing. Okay. Mm-hmm. Loki gets away with the Tesseract.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
What's going on there? Like,
not their timeline.
So does that mean there is a timeline where Loki like did not get incarcerated? Did not?
Yeah. And
eventually,
that's probably the timeline they're going to. I mean, there's a Disney Plus
right.
Loki series.
Oh, for real?
Yeah.
Yes.
I don't know these things.
But you do now.
We know that there are three Marvel Disney Plus shows that are coming.
Is Hiddleston going to be the Loki in this?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, my land. I got to subscribe to Disney Plus. Is that a thing I have to subscribe to?
Yes.
Yes, you do.
It's just fine. It's cheap. It's like $6 or $7.
Whatever. You won't watch Star Trek Discovery because you have to subscribe to
that's one show.
CBS has like almost no content compared to what Disney Plus is going to
have. Twilight Zone's pretty good, too, though.
No, Disney Plus is going to have basically... They're saying it's going to have almost all of their stuff.
That's amazing. All right, fine. I will prepare my subscription button. I better unsubscribe to something else first, though. Okay.
I think it will be interesting to see on that Disney Plus show if it's going to be that Loki who took the Tesseract. If it's going to be like...
Or it's going to be prequel style.
Prequel stuff. Or it's also kind of interesting to me. So this... I in preparation for Endgame, Brian and I went through and rewatched the movies.
Yes.
Right. And when you watch the first Avengers movie, like, Loki is just the murdering greatest,
right.
civilians.
Yes.
And...
Stone Cold.
Which is much more like the Loki that I know in the comics.
Yes. And, yeah, and now we're kind of like...
He's almost an
it's
anti.
Almost like we have
he's
like
almost like a hero
amnesia
at this point, right?
About it. It's not there's no anti about it. Like people treat him like he's a hero at this point.
That's true. That's because of the way he died heroically versus Thanos, though.
And I remember there was
the scene in Thor Ragnarok. I laughed so hard.
There was Brian and I when Thor 2 released. We went to they had like a supercut of they did Thor and then Avengers and then Thor 2.
Okay,
like all three in a row. For a screening.
Oh, okay.
And the theater was like chock full of teenage girls who were all...
Like full on Hiddleston fans.
Yes. And like my mind was blown at the time because I didn't even comprehend that that was going to be the case. Like all these girls were going to be so excited for Loki because at that point he hadn't had a...
Redemptive arc.
Not that he really had one at all, but... But yeah.
I feel like he's had a little bit of redemption.
You don't feel like Ragnarok was his redemptive arc? I mean, Ragnarok up to the start of
like,
Infinity
if I were
War.
To, so...
Don't get me wrong. I'm with you. Loki is a villain. He will always be a villain to me.
And, like, do I feel like they've done a very good job of, like, explaining why he's changed? No.
Wait, do you actually believe he's changed?
I think it's just a long con.
I agree. I agree with Josh. Yeah.
Everything Loki does is a con.
That could be.
I mean, from the comics, everything he does is a long con.
Live your life assuming that, and you will be happier than Thor.
So do you think that then, if that's the case, why would he behave the way he did in Infinity War? Do you think that he just miscalculated?
He would not die. I think miscalculated. He did not know. Actually, he should have known more about Thanos than anybody because he had worked
that's
for
one
him.
Of my nitpicks of that movie.
Of Infinity War?
Yeah.
Is that Loki would know what Thanos was capable
that doesn't
of?
Seem like, this seems very out of character for Loki. Period. But
it's,
end of story.
It is, in my opinion, it is the strongest evidence that it wasn't a long con that he actually...
That he actually was inspired by the Avengers and trying to become a better Loki.
Yes.
Fair enough.
Like that's hard for me to digest.
So now that you guys are telling me about this Disney Plus thing, I hope that it is the escape Loki timeline. I don't want a Loki prequel.
Yeah,
really.
I think it would be kind of cool if it was. So since you're unaware of this, here's what the three shows are.
Okay.
There is a WandaVision series, Scarlet Witch and Vision.
Okay.
That is set in the 1950s.
Complete
for some
disinterest.
Reason.
That's fine. Next. Like, are they? Is it like a silly sitcom family?
I don't know.
We don't know much about it. Okay. There's been a lot of speculation as far as whether or not she's gone insane and she's creating her own reality.
Oh, like the House of M.
Yeah. Okay. No one really knows.
Fair enough.
We only know that those are the two characters in it.
Okay.
Then there's the Loki one.
Mm-hmm.
And then there is the Winter Soldier and Falcon.
Oh, cool. Falcon as Captain America.
Yeah. That's the belief. Yes.
I'm hopeful that that's what it is. That would be cool.
Who knows? We don't even know the name of it. We just know that those two people are the
protagonists.
Yeah.
Or are they protagonists?
I think they're protagonists. Well, yeah.
Bucky could go bad again.
Correct. It is the Winter Soldier. So.
Sure.
He could again.
He has a Soviet star on his arm.
He could again betray the world.
Wolverine. We got to fight that stuff, right?
Okay, so
'80s was so long ago, Josh.
Fair enough.
Let's talk about things that
is it Glee time?
We loved about the movie. Yes.
I'm ready for Glee time.
I have one more nitpick. I apologize.
Oh man, what?
Going into the movie, I told my wife that if Rocket did not meet a real raccoon on Earth, I would be disappointed. I am disappointed.
This is a fair nitpick.
Okay, fair enough.
I do like that it was pointed out that he eats trash, though.
So, as One thing that I was happy with that I thought that they did well was there. I did think that there were some diversity things that they did handle well.
Okay.
So for a couple of examples. The one is when they're doing like the bereavement counseling, and the guy who's telling the story is gay, and it's just
Captain America doesn't bat an eye, basically. Right.
No one cares.
When you say it like that, it sounds bad, but I get what you mean.
Right. And I guess I'd be interested in you guys on your opinion on this. So I was talking with a friend who he hadn't seen Endgame yet, but he said that he felt like one of the things that was an issue with comic books was that they tried too hard to force diversity, and that they did so at the expense of
like story or
beloved
something.
Characters that that people already cared about. And so, for example, it bothered him that there was now a female Thor, or that et cetera, et cetera.
See, that doesn't bother me, because if you look at the comic book universe, they run out of ideas. So they move on to different ideas. Right. I mean, if you just kind of look at it from the outside in, you're like, well, why did they do that? But if you're reading them month to month,
if you're looking at it like from a business point of view, they need all that.
They run out of ideas, and they just have to do different things be able to keep the comics going. I mean, if you have a comic book series that lasts 20, 30, 40, 50 years, like some of these have, like, what else are you going to do that's different that you haven't already done?
See, that's the funny thing. Like, my daughter, the Captain Marvel fan, she's like, what's your theories, Dad? Talking about Endgame before we went to sell. You know, and I'm like, I don't make theories. Like, I've read enough comic books that I'm like, there are so many stories that could be told. There are so many ways to tell it. I'm like, I just want to go see what story they decided to tell. I'm not interested in speculating and stuff, you know?
Yeah.
So to that same point, there's so many ideas in comic books.
And also, you know? I guess one of the points I made to him with like the business perspective of it as well is that like his point was kind of like, you should keep telling all of the, you know, straight white male stories.
Right,
and then also
until they run out
and then also start telling other stories about other ones, and then they can succeed or fail on their own
merits.
That's
not how the comic book that's not how the comic book world works. They just there's only so much money in the industry spent, and
you can only have so many comic books that you're producing at one point. Or
right, I mean, I guess you could, but the problem is that it has to be profitable.
Right,
If you keep adding characters, eventually you're making comic book characters that aren't profitable. And so you have to, the better choice is to take a character like Thor. And okay, you're like, well, you've already got a readership of Thor.
Right.
And now you're going to tell a different story of a woman Thor or whatever it is.
And potentially have.
And you'll still have those readers. And then maybe you gain new readership, and you might lose some. That's okay. But they'll go to their comic book readers. They'll go to a different comic book if they don't enjoy that story or that plot line or whatever. There's only so much bandwidth within that sphere in the industry. And the truth is comic books are expensive to make. Yeah. And if you're not selling enough issues, you're losing money.
You're not going
to
keep making them.
So my whole point with that thread was that I thought, and I'll be curious to see what my friend thinks of this after he watches Endgame, but
of that same diversity conversation,
or the way that it was handled in the MCU.
Yeah.
Like I think that, you know, we now have a black Captain America, and I think that's great, and I think that it was handled well, and I'm excited to see what they do.
It was
with
a great
in the
passing of the torch.
It was awesome. Yeah, I thought it was very touching. You know, it's funny. Like, as probably one of the straightest, whitest males you'll ever meet, right?
The most Wonder Bread.
I the older I get, the more I feel like the more that I'm like, man, this is why this like diversity matters, why representation matters. Because, and again, where I keep seeing it from the perspective of my daughters, you know, like I remember when Black Panther came out, and there was so much conversation about, you know, the African American representation in Black Panther, and I thought, oh, that's really cool. But then watching with my daughter, I was like, oh, but the female representation, like, what a huge difference that made to her. And the more and more I'm just like, why would I complain about that? Like, why would I be against that? Because almost to what your point is, Trevor, like, why would I not want more and more people to feel welcomed into universes or, you know, interests or hobbies where I find joy?
I will feel better about the, I'll call it the A-Force nod, because that's kind of what it is in the comics. That's the
girl power thing?
Yeah, they're basically the all-girl Avengers.
Oh, okay. I haven't read those.
I haven't either, but I know I was aware of them. I will feel better about the 10-15 second scene in Endgame if that turns around and becomes an actual movie.
Oh, that'd be cool. Oh man, my girls.
Right,
I'd have to see that.
I'm doubtful that it'll happen.
Uh-huh.
But if that does turn around and they make that an actual movie, then I feel better about that 15 second clip because it's at that point it's an introduction instead of a full on. This is what we're giving you is 15 seconds.
Right, instead of being a token.
Yeah. Instead of being here's your 15 seconds, we're going to give you a full movie. And this is our introduction.
I'm just barely realizing again with the handing of the torch conversation, like Captain America to Falcon, right? Like, mm-hmm. Thor kind of handed his torch to Valkyrie, right?
The same thing actually happened with Iron Man to Pepper Potts.
And or his daughter, right? Like, right. That was my girl's conversation again last night. It's right. Like, oh, who's going to be the new Iron Man? Is it Pepper Potts or is it, what's his daughter's name? Margo?
I'm sorry, I don't know.
3,000. Mm-hmm. Love you, 3,000.
I'm not sure if you guys noticed, but when they're at...
The funeral. That kid?
Yeah, the at the very end, the guy you're like, who's that?
Yes.
Is the kid from Iron Man 3.
I just don't remember him. I didn't remember him at all.
I'm trying to remember his name in the comics. He is a character in the comics.
Mm-hmm.
So he's a possibility as well.
Yeah, of Iron Man. Yeah, that'd be cool.
Yeah, I mean, so.
So, great Glee point, Jay. That's your Glee point. Diversity was well handled in a lot of different ways.
You guys can throw one out.
Well, okay, look. I don't want to rank my Glee points, but sure. This is the one of the contenders for the top. Captain Mjolnir. When he picks up the hammer,
so
I was like,
they did there were a couple points in the movie, three or four, that were just like
pure fan service.
An amazing job of Captain America fan service. And obviously the Thor
that
hammer
was the pinnacle.
Was I'm not sure if it was the pinnacle for me.
Okay. Well, are you telling me that America's ass was the pinnacle for you?
No. I mean, well, yes, but no. I thought that maybe the best moment of the movie was...
Oh, I know what you're going to
say. When Captain America is like,
gives
the
shit speech.
Beat out of him.
Oh, yes. Shield busted in half, right?
And... He's like, he's all on his own. There's an army coming. And he's like, okay, I'm going to do this on my own. And then the portals start opening.
Yeah.
And it's amazing.
That was amazing. Yeah, 100%. Hard to argue with that. Also, him fighting himself in the past timeline.
Yeah, that was, yes.
That's freaking hilarious. Also, I do this all day. Yeah, I know.
Hell Hydra in the elevator. Fantastic.
That was amazing. I really enjoyed the 1970s scene. I'm wondering, like, how does the internet react to that? Because it felt like kind of odd pacing.
Which scene?
In the 1970s. When they go back when, like, to... Tony is, like, talking to his dad. Like, I thought that was
more
pretty...
Pym's particles than the Tesseract.
Yeah, that's right. And...
Sure. That held a lot of weight for me. That's the Tony Stark plot line that I enjoy the most is him and his father.
Really?
Yeah. And so that sort of that bringing closure to that whole plot line was quite good for me. I enjoyed it a lot. So
okay, cool. Give us your Glee point, Trevor.
I don't know that I have one. I don't know that there's one particular point in the movie that stands out to me.
And I can keep going all day.
Okay, go ahead. That's fine.
We know. I know. No, I got more too. So we'll come back around to you, Trevor.
I'm not saying that there was any. I enjoyed a lot of it.
Yeah.
I guess probably the part that cracked me up the most, and it was at the most inappropriate time, was seeing the wreath with the
proof that Tony Stark has the heart.
Yeah, the little trophy that she gave him from Iron Man 1 or 2 or whatever it came out. Anyway, that just it cracked me up because it was a nod back, and I laughed pretty hard at that. Anyway, that's the scene of Tony Stark's funeral was quite impactful to me. So, and that's coming from a guy who doesn't really care about Iron Man and doesn't really care about Tony Stark at all. So, even in the MCU, he's not really my favorite character.
Right.
In any way, shape,
I'm kind of the same way as you. Whatever. Team Captain America. I get it. But
I'm not even Team Captain America. I don't really care for either of them.
Well, there's something wrong, but...
okay, well...
Iron Man.
I'm
going to
piggyback on a Glee point on, I guess... The ending of the movie. I'm Team Iron Man. My husband is
The living embodiment.
Even more Team Iron Man than I am. He's to the point where, like, he doesn't like Captain America because he's so...
Of his alleged betrayals.
Right, and so he loved in that basically he felt like these movies were an entire validation of his view of the Civil War. and that... I do think that it was well done that it was Tony who made the selfless sacrifice and that it was Captain America who made the decision to have the more selfish end, I guess.
Oh, by living out his life?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
That was the selfish end?
I have some friends who I discussed the movie with who were like irate over...
That he made that choice?
Yes. They felt like it completely... invalidated.
But he'd already taken the fight, like, as far as he could take it. Like,
yeah,
the shield punched in half, standing alone.
That's the thing. He didn't change his own past. He stayed in his own timeline. He did all those things, and then went back and continued living his life. And who knows what he did in that timeline to defend the world.
Right. Yeah. And the guy deserves a retirement at some point. Come on.
Hey. As someone who views it as complete validation of Civil War, he does deserve to be selfish, as is his nature.
All right, I have a.
You better be careful. There's plenty of room to have a fight down here.
I have an Iron Man related nit.
Okay.
That I kind of forgot about. That's related to the end. Was there any like sort of indication or foreshadowing or? That Tony was going to have the ability to take those stones out of the glove that Thanos was wearing. And because that's what he did, right? He just like made the Iron Man suit circuitry spit the stones off of Thanos' glove onto his glove, right? Isn't that?
I would say yes.
You would say yes, there was enough foreshadowing or indication.
If you've watched enough of the MCU movies, once he got to having the nanite suit,
mm-hmm.
it was able to do all sorts of weird things.
Okay.
It was
That didn't bother
it was spitting me. Okay. Out shit, it was reforming itself, etc. etc. Right. And it wasn't
okay. That's the conclusion I came to in the post movie Wheeler discussion last night. But I was like, I had just a tiny bit of heartburn with it. That he got the stones away, you know. But my heartburn goes away because the scene is amazing. When Thanos is like, I am inevitable, metallic snap.
Right. I'm like, yes. Okay. So another glee point for me. So I had read some non-spoiler reviews of the movie before I actually went to it.
Okay.
And some of them said that they rated the end battle as the best fight scene of any superhero movie ever.
Mm.
I'm curious what your guys' take is on that, if you agree.
I disagree.
I also disagree.
I actually liked the Infinity War
end
battle scene more.
Yeah, I agree.
And maybe it was just because it was lighter?
There's less going on, so you can pay a little bit more attention as to what's actually happening, and it feels like the emotion is deeper. I don't know.
Yeah.
So I think I do agree.
That it's the best.
Yeah.
Okay.
And part of it is that, I don't know, I guess the emotion felt deeper for me because it felt like it was the cap of 22 movies.
Yeah. Huh. And you know, that it's funny because I've seen some people online kind of complain, say that this movie wasn't very good. And I'm like, I don't feel like I can watch this movie in a vacuum. Like,
you would be completely wasted.
Yeah, I feel like I'm watching this movie exactly as you're saying, Jay, as an incredibly well done bookend to a decade of storytelling.
Right.
Of cinematic storytelling, right? So
yeah, it's weird to me to see those reviews of people saying that they didn't enjoy the film. I'm like, did we watch the same movie?
Yeah, did we watch the same 10 years of movies? You know, because again, that was partly also what was interesting to me of some of one of my daughters and wife not having seen some of the movies and like kind of their reaction. You know,
it also like I've listed several nitpicks, etc., but overall, like. What they pulled off is amazing.
Yeah. And like, in some ways, I'm afraid we're spoiled as consumers.
Sure.
Like, if I took this, even if I just took this movie, but if I took all 10 years of movies back to my 15-year-old self, like, my head would explode.
Yeah, it's hard to imagine that something like this could ever be pulled off again.
It's kind of hard to... It's been, like, everywhere and such a part of culture, it's almost hard to imagine... a world without the MCU.
Can you think of how many times a movie series in your past has basically died on the vine because of a bad sequel or a bad... I mean, if you look back and think about all these movies, there's I can't think of any that I would consider a bad movie.
Right.
And
look at what's going on with Star Wars right now because of Solo.
Right. I mean...
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't realize that. Like...
They're not doing more spin-off stories. They don't have a plan at this point.
Mm.
Or maybe they do, but they haven't shared it with anyone.
Yeah, they haven't shared it with anyone. But I mean, if you think back to all the movie series that you saw as a youth, and you know, you see the second one was so bad or whatever, the sequel was bad, and it just, you wanted to see a whole plot line of, you know, we always, I think the people who are, say, 20 years younger than us don't really understand what it was like during the 80s when you saw a movie you loved, and then a sequel came along and it was horrible. And basically, it died on the vine right there. You were done. And at when you first saw the first one, you're like, I would love to see 10 movies of this, you know, let alone 22. Like, the fact that this has even happened at all is amazing to me.
Right, and it would have been so easy to fuck this up.
Yes!
And it would have been so easy to make... And it kind of feels like people just take for granted now how good the MCU movies are.
Mm-hmm.
And that they're almost like, well... Of course, they made a movie that was a good ending to it. And
yeah, like they're in some ways, it's almost like the MCU is a victim of its own success,
right?
Because it's like all of a sudden the bar is like, you know, that much higher.
Yeah, it's got to be what those people are thinking. Movie's not very good because
one other minor nit that's diversity related. I always forget the guy's name. I was much like Trevor was disappointed that Rocket did not meet an actual raccoon. I was disappointed that Ant-Man's sidekick is it Louise? What the heck is his name?
I think maybe.
Yeah.
That does the amazing
speed
retellings. Oh my gosh, I wanted one of those so bad. But
yeah.
All right.
I will also say that I was disappointed that Korg didn't have a bigger part in the.
That's fair.
He's one of my favorite characters.
Besides playing Fortnite?
Yeah. I have a Korg bobblehead on my desk at work.
Okay, another Glee point, which is related to the Endgame battle, which is why I'm bringing it up, is the return of Tom Holland. I mean, Peter Parker, whatever. In my heart, I knew it was going to have to happen, but it was just everything about him was so freaking awesome.
I troll my kids all the time, and I had them convinced that Far From Home was a prequel and that he wasn't coming back.
Anyway, the fact that he got to save the gauntlet from Jeremy Renner, right? just kidding. I know it was Black Panther, but
any other things that you're really happy with the show?
I loved the again, because it was a time travel movie, but I loved the revisiting some of the greatest hits.
Yeah, like the Avengers
of the
Assemble.
MCU. Yes, like my one daughter called it the baby Avengers when they go back to 2012. She's like, look how baby faced they were. And like, so little. And anyway, I just thought it was fun. That was just a fun kind of look back to movies that we'd been to before, you know, that kind of thing.
So where would you guys rank this within your hierarchy of MCU movies?
I think it makes the top three for me. Easily top five. But I'd have to think about 3, 4, and 5 a little bit, you know, to say for sure if it was... I mean, it doesn't get above...
Homecoming
for me. I don't know if anything ever will. And it doesn't get above Infinity War for me, so...
Okay.
I'm not going to really say yet. I need to rewatch it. But I'm assuming when it's said and done... I have a hard time separating them. It's sort of like Kill Bill 1 and 2 for me. They're one movie. It feels like it should be considered as one movie with Infinity War. But... I got to say, this is probably going to end up it's got to be in the top five. I don't really know without rewatching it and then sitting down and sort of evaluating, but it certainly feels like it's going to end up there.
So I have rewatched it once in the theater. I watched the 3D version, which didn't really add anything.
Yeah.
But some of this is probably recency bias, but whatever. But it might be my favorite MCU movie now.
Impressive. Unseating what?
Oh... I don't know. That's a good question.
My number one is Guardians of the Galaxy. So I think it could potentially, as a combo, as Infinity War and Endgame, it could eventually unseat it as the two combined.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly has a lot of the themes that I love. It had the weight that I was hoping for. You know, it didn't feel like the consequences were, you know, not heavy enough. They were plenty strong enough for me.
It's interesting to me, like the consequences conversation, that the media lends itself to more to consequences because you literally have actors aging out of the roles.
Yeah, right? And they're like, well, I'm not going to do this anymore. You got to take me out.
Yeah, although it's, you know, by the same token, it's interesting that like with apparently the de-aging and aging methods that they have now that you can
actually
have those actors
pretty impressive
longer,
It was, so as a outside thing, I knew that Chris Evans was
done,
right. The MCU and was ready to move on.
Okay.
And so I knew that, you know, Captain America was going to be written out. There was a part of me that was like still half hoping or expecting that they were going to keep Robert Downey Jr. around.
Really?
To do like cameos or whatever in future movies. So there was a little bit of me that was surprised that when he did
actually really give the ultimate sacrifice.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's fair.
What's your opinion on of those who are dead? Do you think that are there any that are going to come back?
So Black Widow, Iron Man, Captain America, who's not really dead, but geriatric.
Question on Gamora.
Gamora, yeah, we had this discussion last night. I feel like Gamora is really dead.
Okay.
So do I think any of them are going to come back is the real question.
Black Widow, there's a movie. There's a Black Widow movie on the schedule.
But it could be a prequel, couldn't it?
Sure. It probably is. Yeah. Almost has to be.
Right.
But
So honestly, I don't know what I think, Jay, but my hope is that they don't because of the weight thing that Trevor's talking about.
Right.
Like, I felt like that's part of what this movie did well is it's like, no, you can't have back those 5 years.
Yes.
And no, there are some of these characters that you cannot have back. Like, I think that's, I don't know.
It also, as much as I had my bitch about Black Widow earlier.
Yeah.
I think that there are better female characters than her, and I would rather see them spend time.
Right. If you're gonna prop up a female character to be the Avengers or the MCU female character to rally around, you wouldn't pick Black Widow.
No.
Who would you pick?
Captain Marvel, probably, or Valkyrie, or
I would probably be more towards probably one of the Black Panther females, or
that would be good too.
Shuri. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's who I would pick.
Yeah.
I'll have to consult with. Well, actually, I'm pretty sure my daughter would say Captain Marvel, but I'll double check.
I mean, honestly,
maybe Pepper Potts.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think you can. If truthfully, it feels like
all of these sound more interesting to me than Black Widow.
Sure, right.
I actually do like Black Widow quite a bit. So if you've seen the people have pieced together all of her really amazing scenes. There's some really great stuff over the years.
Oh, that's cool.
It's been a little sad that she hasn't had her own movie.
This is probably again me letting my biases color it, and it's not as bad as my Jeremy Renner bias, but. Like,
I'm Scarlett Johansson.
I'm completely mystified why people are so enraptured by her. And granted, it's obvious why I would be partially, but
you're saying there are some assets that
she's fine.
Yeah,
but
that is a fact.
I mean, in some ways, she's aging out of the role too.
Yeah, a little bit.
One quick glee point related to Iron Man's sacrifice. I love Strange didn't have very much of a appearance in the movie.
Right.
But when he looks over at him, you know, he's holding up the water or whatever and holds up the one finger, like, this is the one way. I was like, that was amazing. Mm-hmm. That was super cool. Even though, whatever. I'm not fighting with you about Captain America and Iron Man anymore.
I mean, I would have thought that you were a big enough man to admit when you were wrong.
Look, all I'm saying is nobody saw Iron Man pick up Mjolnir. Worthiness confirmed.
I guess you two read more comics than I do, but
I did in the past.
I've read several articles talking about the MCU, etc. And one of the statements that they made with it was that it was impressive that Disney kind of took the characters and the tools that they had available. They obviously didn't have the entire suite of Marvel characters available to them to make the MCU.
Which is funny because, like, my favorite Marvel characters are not in the MCU.
Really?
Yeah. I'm an X-Men person. I love the X-Men. Right.
And so I guess I'd be interested in your take on if you think this is true, but they thought that it was impressive that they were able to do this with the MCU in that they started with Iron Man, which in the author's opinion of the article, was a character that didn't necessarily have like a very big fan base. Wasn't obvious that you could make a 22 movie series with him as the foundation.
Yeah, if you'd told me prior to this whole thing that he was going to be the main kind of core holding everything together character, I would have said that's silly. Of course, there were several along the way that I also thought were odd or silly, and in hindsight, it doesn't feel as silly or as odd. They've done an amazing job. One of them, and I think I've said this before on the podcast, but the Guardians of the Galaxy film, which is my favorite, I'd read the Guardians of the Galaxy comics, and they're awful.
Yeah, the original run?
Yeah, they're not very good, and right. When they announced Guardians of the Galaxy, I'm like, oh, there's their first flop.
Here we are. There's the shark. We are jumping.
We're going off the rails. And I was wrong. I was dead wrong. And so they've taken stuff that in the comics I had very little interest in.
Like the cosmic stuff, honestly.
Yeah, a lot of that. There was a lot of things. There's a lot of these characters I don't care about in the comics. Doctor Strange. I hate Doctor Strange in the comics. I hate him in the MCU too. But
yeah, but you hate him for the reason you're supposed to in the MCU.
I hate him for the reason you're supposed to in the comics too, I think.
Yeah, because he's a jerk.
Anyway, I just, you know, it is amazing to me that they've taken the stuff that I didn't care about in the comics at all, kind of the opposite of what I read, and they've turned it into a 22 film mega blockbuster.
Mm-hmm.
It's fantastic. It's amazing.
So one of the things that you, after you watched the movie, Trevor, I sent a text like, you know, what did you think? And your very first question was like, or statement was, you know, I don't know what they're going to do going forward.
Yeah.
And so what do you guys think of that?
So, unfortunately, it feels like when you reach a peak at any point during storytelling, you have to rein it in.
Like take a break, basically.
Because you cannot continue escalating.
Right.
The next movie cannot be an escalation of this movie. It's impossible to keep up that pace because then it starts losing weight or it becomes too bombastic or too cheesy or whatever it is. So you have to pull it back.
You have to send Spider-Man on a trip to Europe.
Spoiler alert, if you're reading, you know, Dresden Files, you have to kill him and have this really stupid book about him being a ghost that's awful and the worst book of the series. I mean, that's my fear, is that this next movie or the next few movies are going to be de-escalated to the point where they're not going to have any weight and that maybe they're not going to be popular.
See, I thought about this a lot last night, and I'm like, do they have a formula here, and can they basically replicate it? Like, start low-key, you know, maybe it's Captain Falcon America, maybe it's Valkyrie something, you know, whatever.
And we know they're going to
build up again to, like,
you know, Doctor Strange movie, they're going to have another Black Panther.
Right, you know, like, it feels like
it'll be interesting to see
and
how
build up again to, like, I hope they build up to is. Like a Galactus or, like, yeah, it will be interesting because Far From Home will be, according to my daughter, you guys will probably confirm this for me, it's seconds or minutes after Endgame, basically, that it picks up, right? Like,
I mean, it can't be too far out because he's
in high school.
He's still in high school,
which, I mean, I have some. How did they not just graduate him posthumously or whatever? 5 years later, right? Like, anyway, but I'm like, I feel like they can do that. I think it's a totally fair concern. Like, could we have the next movie come out and be like, well, that's kind of boring. But
so when the first few movies in the MCU came out, we had no indication that they were tied in any way for the most part. So do you feel like they're going to do that? They have to do that for a while, that we're not going to tie them together in any way, shape or form for a while until whatever big movie starts tying them together. I don't even know what it would be called or what it would be.
And I think that they will do 2, 3, 4 movies and then
start to tie
an ensemble movie.
The stinger sound from Endgame, what was it indicative of?
It was the sound that
of Iron Man forging something.
Iron Man forging his first
suit. His original suit, right? Yes.
Disney confirmed that.
Did that mean, was it meant
to? It was just an homage.
Okay.
At least that's what I'm guessing.
It wasn't Pepper Potts forging a new Iron Man suit for the next phase of
She is not MCU. Forging nanites.
All right, fine. That'd be kind of cool, though.
A little nanite forge.
Bing, bing. It will. Trevor, you've said that you love the X-Men.
I do.
Now that Disney owns Fox and has access to the X-Men, do you want to see them start getting folded into MCU?
When you say folded in, do you mean the current round of actors who are playing them? Just like almost holding what's currently...
I mean, I guess either way.
I would not like to see that.
I mean, one of the great tragedies of life is that Hugh Jackman, Wolverine, will never appear in the MCU, right?
I'm not sure I'm a huge fan of Hugh Jackman as Wolverine. I mean, he did a good job, and I'm glad he did, but... I feel like there could have been better choices, maybe. But
anyway.
Anyway,
Patrick Stewart was a great Professor X.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Although, what's the younger Professor X? I think he does a really good job. Like, First Class.
Yeah, he does.
I thought First Class was a ton of fun.
Well, he's a... Like, if you've watched the, like, Glass and the other one, that actor is just...
that's right. I forget. He's a...
Really good actor.
Split? No, what is that one?
Yeah.
Yeah, Split.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
So, I actually think that the new X-Men stuff is better than the old X-Men stuff. And I like it a lot. I love
Days of Future Past. I think Days of Future Past was fantastic.
Yeah, it's probably one of the best movies I've ever seen. I think it's fantastic.
And it has time travel, so of course you love it.
It has time travel. I mean... Part of the problem is it feels like a little, there's going to be some fatigue, even from people who love the series. Like the problem is that the story that I would want to see Marvel Studios tell is the Dark Phoenix saga. And the problem is it's now going to be told for the second time by Fox. And they're probably going to screw it up both times.
Yeah, it wasn't told well the first time. It
wasn't told well the first time. I'm afraid it's not going to be told well the second time. So they would almost have to, if they're going to tell the X-Men story, they've got to start somewhere completely different. And the truth is some of the best X-Men stuff that's been told, Fox has already tapped.
Well, I guess the counterpoint to give some hope is that it would have been really easy after kind of the... train wreck that was the Andrew Garfield mm-hmm. Spider-Man movies to be like, you know, how is Spider-Man going to be in the MCU? And
sure,
we don't need a reboot of Spider-Man, mm-hmm. etc. And they did a great job.
Turns out we did.
And
truthfully, coming into it, that was a concern.
Yeah, absolutely. And I need more X-Men. Magneto might be my favorite.
He's fantastic.
He's one of the greatest villains. Yeah.
Yeah, he's one of the greatest villains of all time.
Or he's probably a hero to you, frankly.
Yeah, let's be careful how we're throwing around that villain tag.
Let me guess, Magneto did nothing wrong, Jay?
I mean, truthfully, I won't. If they make something X-Men related and throw it into the MCU, I will see it. But it feels like it needs to be out of the collective conscience for at least a couple of years before they try it.
Yeah, that could be true.
Especially with, I mean, the Dark Phoenix movies coming out this summer.
Yeah.
I mean, that makes it really hard to...
Fold it in. Like
to fold saying. It in, yeah. I don't know. There's certainly...
Do you think that Deadpool will ever get folded in, per se, or is it just going to be like
its... No, it should be its own thing.
Thing off on the side?
I mean, even in the comics, he's kind of his own little thing. I mean, people have cameos with Deadpool. Deadpool doesn't have cameos with them.
Yeah.
It's...
I think it's healthier that way.
Yeah, it probably is. Although...
I like Deadpool fine, too, but I'm just like...
I will admit that if you could get Tom Holland and Ryan Reynolds on the same screen at the same time, a Deadpool Spider-Man movie... I would probably jizz in my pants. That's all I'm saying. Just the announcement. I would lose my mind. I want that to happen because it's amazing in the comics. It's amazing in the cartoons.
Right.
We need to have that happen on the big screen, but I know it won't. And it's probably for the best.
It's probably for the best.
Yeah.
I guess any closing thoughts?
I was going to say go see the movie if you haven't, but if you've been listening
sorry. Go see it again. I don't know. There are a lot of things that were brought in with Fox that I want that haven't been explored that I would like to see. So that's kind of my closing thoughts. Is I hope that they don't just like, well, okay, we're just going to pull in Magneto. We're going to do an X-Men thing. I hope they explore some of the stuff that Fox didn't explore, because there's thousands of characters that got that Fox owned that they had never really touched. So that's what I'm hoping for, is that some of that stuff gets pulled in. So, and I don't have a good example off the top of my head, but I think we'll talk about someone in the dojo that's going to come out in a few days after this.
So my closing thought is it's been a great run. It's been a lot of fun. I hope that, you know, whatever comes here in the future continues to tap that same spirit of fun. And I also hope that the caretakers of this property can kind of maintain, I'm going to call it the family friendly. That's why I'm saying, like, Deadpool needs to be his own thing, because I love that that exists, that people love it. But, like, the fact that you could, I feel like Endgame was right, maybe over the line, against the line of, like, I mean, I don't actually take my kids until they're 13 to see these movies.
Right.
Right.
Went to the 3D showing I went to, it was on a Sunday afternoon, and there were so many, like, 6 to 9 year olds at the movie.
Yeah. See, and, like, for me, that's, you know, that's a personal parenting decision, but these movies have felt like you're safe to do that. you know, to take kids that are that young. And that's why I say, like, the beheading of Thanos, mm-hmm. some of the harder, darker themes that were in Endgame.
I think
I'm
that,
like,
this is going to stay an outlier.
So that's my hope.
Yeah.
Well, but here's my issue with Deadpool. I understand where the Deadpool movies were fantastic. I love them. I know you haven't seen them, but you've read Deadpool comics.
Right.
And certainly he can be done in a PG-13 environment.
He could.
Most of his comics are PG-13.
That's because they use the pound sign.
Yeah, I
understand. The pound sign, at sign, exclamation mark for the swear words.
I understand, but I'm just saying that you could, that PG-13 movies have swear words. You can still have a Deadpool PG-13, and I think it can still be have the same weight, same feeling. I know that there's people that disagree with me
now that they've kind of let the genie out of the bottle.
Yeah,
that's true.
Right, that's probably true.
That's
so fair. Maybe that's what I'm saying is the genie that's out of the bottle should stay a little bit separated from you know the overall MCU.
Well, then I want a rated R Tom Holland and Ryan Reynolds crossover.
That would destroy me because I would not be able to watch my Tom Holland.
I guess for my closing thought, I'll talk about something that I'm excited about. Listeners may or may not know that I, on a rare occasion, make my way to Disneyland. And when I first went to Disneyland, one of my favorite rides was they had a ride in California Adventure that was called the Tower of Terror.
Which is amazing.
And it's themed off of the Twilight Zone.
Mm-hmm.
And you go and you ride it, and it's just very thematic, well done. It's a good ride, just on its own merits as well. And then they announced that they were going to change it. And when it was Tower of Terror, it was probably my favorite ride. And so they announced that they were going to make it a Guardians of the Galaxy ride. And I was kind of concerned. I was like, you know, why are they doing this? It doesn't really fit in with California Adventure.
Right.
And it's already a ride I like, and so it's just going to get worse. And turns out I was wrong. I think it's even better now, in my opinion.
Okay.
And the point is valid that it doesn't fit in in California Adventure. If you've seen the building now, it definitely doesn't look like anything else in that park. But the thing that I'm kind of excited about to see what they end up doing with it is that kind of in between the Guardians of the Galaxy ride and Cars Land, they had Bugs Land, but for Bugs Life or whatever, the Pixar movie. And that's now all been torn out and there's fences up.
Oh.
And it says Stark Industries outside it, and it's going to be a Marvel land that they're working on now.
I did not know that.
So I'll be excited to see what they do with that.
They put mouse ears on it. Spoiler alert.
Yeah, probably. They do everything else. Why not?
If it works, it works.
I would probably buy an Iron Man mouse ears. Okay, well, Josh, do you have a dad joke for us?
Yes, actually. Speaking of, like, family trips, you know, safe family activities, I went to the zoo the other day, and they had a baguette in a cage.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they said it was bred in captivity.
Trevor, do you have anything for us?
No.
Okay. So
not that's appropriate for the topic.
Oh, good.
So our next dojo is going to be, we asked for questions about this movie, and so we'll be continuing talking about this movie.
If you enjoyed this episode, subscribe to the dojo.
That's right.
Strong.
And then we'll have an awesome movie or awesome podcast as our main cast coming up. I don't know what it's going to be,
but it will be awesome.
I have to get back from Disneyland first before we cross that bridge. So on that note, we'd like to thank everyone for listening to another episode of
Chain Attack.